just want to welcome all of you, particularly those who are tuning in online. We are so, so thankful that you continue to stay connected, you continue to follow. Even if you're not watching it live on a Sunday, you're just watching the playback later in the week. We've recognized that's actually happening a lot. A lot of people are coming to church at different times throughout the week. And first of all, we just are so thankful that you've stayed connected. If you're in the building, I'm so glad you're here. Would you just let everybody out there just hear you? Come on. So good. So good to see you. Listen, I want to start with just a couple of really quick announcements, and then I want to dive right into the next installment of our current series that we're in called Do This. But a couple things I want to say that I'm super excited to be able to say. The first one is this, that the people that are in this building right now, so if you're online, you're like, well, I want to cheer. How did they get there? The people that are in this service right now are our builders, and all of you are builders, okay? These are the people that are helping us to get our team strong enough to open the doors to the public once again. And so we've been hard at work for weeks and weeks and weeks. We've had meetings after service every single week. We've been gathering together, praying together. We've been praying for you. We've been praying for your families. We've been praying for the lost. We've been praying for miracles. We've just been calling on God, have we not? We have been calling heaven down, have your way. We've recognized it's a new day in our church, and we are just walking into it. Here's what I want to report, and what I'm excited to announce is that we built this scoreboard, okay? And so what we did is we took all our teams, we built a scoreboard, and we just said, all right, what's our status? Are we red, which means that's not good. We don't have enough people to pull this off. Are we yellow, which means we're getting stronger, or are we green? And I'm super excited to announce that we are strong enough to open on our target date of January 31st. We are going to make it. I'm so excited. All the credit goes to God because of you, okay? And thank you for the work that you've done. The recruiting, the reporting, the building has been amazing. Thank you, guys. If you're like, I want to be involved, what are my next steps? How can I engage? I just want to say this. You can go to cotr.live, cotr.live, click contact us, and simply say join the team. Our teams are getting strong, and it's getting exciting. In fact, we only have two teams that I'm aware of that are still in red, and that's in our kids department. So when we come back on January 31st, we will have two services for everybody, one service for our kids. Go to our website, cotr.life, for all the details. But if you love kids, if you're like, look, I want to be involved, I would love to make a difference. And if you love children, that's your spot. Honestly, we can use you there. It would be amazing. We want to be able to serve the entire family every time the doors are open, if possible. But we still have some red in one of our kids' services. The other is completely green. So way to go. Would you just give God the praise one more time? Just give God the praise. It's awesome. It's awesome. The second announcement that I want to make very quickly, and then I really want to get into God's word today, is simply this, that we are today, we're in a season as a church, if you're new to our church or whatever, we're in a season, we do this annually, of 21 days of prayer and fasting, which is difficult. Fasting is not easy at all. And so if you've been a part of the fast, thank you for just being sacrificial before the Lord. I believe that he builds and does things like spiritual surgery. He equips and readies us for what is ahead when we sacrifice before him. Today is day 15, all right? So 21 days at day 15, we can see the ending, right? You can see the finish line. And I don't know if you're like me, but I can't decide, is it gonna be tacos or a bacon burger? I don't know which one it is. It's gonna break my fast, but I can't wait. It's gonna be super exciting. Here's all I bring that up to say, is that our finale is happening Saturday night, the 23rd, and I just want to invite you, okay? It's not a worship night, though there will be worship. It is a night of prayer. It's our final night of prayer, and I just simply want to invite you. If you can make it to one of our prayer services, come. Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Our finale, however, is on Saturday, and I'm just extending the invitation. Like, don't miss it. Come hang with us. It's going to be awesome. Sound good? Who's coming? Let me hear you. All right. One third of the room. God bless you all. All right. So that's fine with me. Whoever is coming. That's really good. Hey, I want to get into the next installment of our current series. We've been in this series called Do This. This is something God put in my heart months ago. I knew that it would be for 21 days of prayer in the start of our year. This series, Do This. I'm going to show you where it kind of derives from, where it all comes from, and then we'll get right into today's topic. This is Luke chapter 22, and we're at the point that Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples. So they're at the table, and he's getting to the point where he's about to go to the cross. And here he is. The Bible says that he took bread, and he gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body broken for you. Everybody say these next two words, do this in remembrance of me. So our series is called Do This. And then he takes in the same way after supper, he took the cup of wine saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. And so here's what we've been saying, okay, that remembrance is more than communion, right? Like we talk about communion, we have communion. Next Sunday, we're going to receive communion together. And Jesus was saying, don't forget about my broken body and my shed blood for you. This is what he was saying. So I want you to take the act of communion, this bread, this cup, and I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Our statement is this, that remembrance is more than just the act of communion. Remembrance is to live broken and poured out. So I think when Jesus said, do this, I think that he meant more than like this act. I think what Jesus was saying is, I'm about to go and be completely broken. I'm about to be completely poured out. And what I want you to do as my followers is this. I want you to live broken and poured out lives. And this is what we've been digging into as a church. I want to throw, as we get into today's topic, I want to just throw some things out there. I do best when I'm just myself and I'm not trying to have like a public relations filter. I'm just trying to communicate from my heart. And that is what I'm going to do today. Amen. Pray for me though if you're a prayer warrior, because I am going to tread lightly and be very careful, but I'm also going to be very bold, because I'm very convinced that the message today God gave me, and here's why I'm convinced of that. I had written an entirely different message for this week earlier, and it was ready to go. Notes were sent to production, and I was ready to preach it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was excited. I was like fired up about it. And then I felt God radically, just 24 hours or so later, radically start to change my direction. And I'm going to be really honest with you, I didn't like it. I was like, well, hey, like we're done. We're good. Everything's sent. I did my job. Let me go. And he just wouldn't let me escape. And so I just rearranged one of my prep mornings. I have some hours that I focus on trying to think about what's ahead for our church. And I just took a few hours. And I said, all right. I went out, I got this little spot in my yard. And I like to pace and pray there. It's when it's cold, it's sunny. And it's, you know, it's perfect. It's perfect. When it's hot, I don't pray there. But this time of year, I go there and I like to pray. And so I was in that spot and I was pacing and I just felt an idea. That's it. It was an idea. It sort of popped up in my mind. And I just simply, honestly, I'm in prayer and I just went, okay, all right. I'll go work on it. I'll go work on this idea. And so I just went back into what, not necessarily an office, but the little area in which I study at home. And I just, all right, let me dig into this idea. And a message just sort of fell out, which was more confirmation. All right. Because I put hours and hours of preparation into these 35 minutes. Hours and hours. And so when it came together that easy, I was like, doggone it. I'll do it. And so I sent new notes to the production team and then asked God later, by a P.S. I asked God, like, what about, like, this thing was good. What about that? And he just simply said, hang on to it. Nothing's wasted. 21 days in August. So that message is going to become a series, and I'm excited about that. So I just put it in a different file, and I already know where we're headed for 21 days of prayer in August of 2021. Amen. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into it. You ready? All right, brace yourself. Buckle up. I'm going to get into it, and I'm going to communicate to you today the truth of God's word. We have been, as a people, as a world, in some unbelievable, weird, chaotic, crazy times. There's COVID, there's racial tension, there's political tension. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The friction that's going on, people are isolated and people are separated and people are angry, which I think one leads to the other, by the way, because we're designed for community. Get in a life group. Amen. We're designed for community. We're designed to connect to God. We're designed to connect to people. And when we break away from those things, problems ensue. Amen. I'm preaching and I'm not even to the point yet. Community matters. And so we are in this crazy, crazy time that everybody keeps describing as unprecedented. That's a word that I don't want to ever hear again. Ever. But we are in unprecedented times, everybody keeps saying. They are unprecedented, unprecedented, which I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a words guy. I love to communicate. I am all about deepening and enlarging my vocabulary. I like to pronounce things correctly. I like to understand things, and I like to learn new words to pronounce correctly and understand. And I had to ask Siri, define unprecedented, which means something you've never seen and experienced before. Unprecedented. And here's what I'm here to declare and say. It's going to set us up for the message for today, that I would like to respectfully disagree. These are not unprecedented times. The Bible tells us, in fact, that nothing is new under the sun. We serve the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the Bible. I'm just giving you truth. And so I begin to think about unprecedented. I begin to think about this word. I begin to think about what's going on. And I just believe, I have a belief, and I think I could prove it, but my belief is that all the sins and the patterns of fallen man is a circle, and it just loops over and over again. So the same struggles that we see today has been seen before, and the same way we try to climb out, someone's tried to climb out before. And ultimately, I'm just going to say, like, if there's one point to the whole message, that the only way to find hope and peace is Jesus. Period. Period. And so as I begin to hear from God, quite frankly, about this, I begin to say, okay, I'm going to need your help, because I feel like you're sending me into a direction that I don't want to go. And then God just began to open my eyes, and I'm going to take you somewhere, okay? I want to show you this. This is King David, Psalm chapter 121. We're going to start in the first verse. And he says this, I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes. Let's just hang there for a second. I lift up my eyes. Now, I'm not a guy that typically gets wrapped around my sermon titles a lot, but I think it matters today. And I just look around. Look at the people next to you. Find the favorite person in the room. Won't you just look at them? Won't you say, hey. Hey, say hey, wake them up, wake them up. If you're in the chat, just chat, hey, hey. I want you to say these two words. You're going to look at them, and you're going to say, look up. Look up. Look up. Just tell them. Now, pick the second draft pick you had there and tell them, look up. Look up. Tell them. Look up. I'm going to encourage you to just say that all throughout the message anytime you want to. Just look up. I'm going to say it as many times as I can, because I think the title is important for the topic. Look up. So what we see is King David. And he says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. And he asks a very specific question. Where does my help come from? Now I'm going to contextualize this for us so that we understand exactly what he's saying. Because when David says, I lift my eyes to the mountains, some translations would say to the hills, he is specifically referring to parliament, government. He is speaking of Capitol Hill, Jerusalem. This is what he means in its context. And what he's saying is he's saying, I look to the hill. Where does my help come from? Some translations word the whole thing as a question. Do I look to the hill? Where does my help come from? And this is a good question. This is a great question. Because I think there's a lot of people misplacing where their help comes from. My dude, I don't know who said it. Charlie. You come on. Now, verse 2, David immediately answers the question. What? I lift my eyes to the mountains, to the hill, to parliament, to Capitol Hill, to government. Where does my help come from? Question mark. Answer. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and the earth. That's where my help comes from. That is where my help comes from. And I want to get into this just a little bit, because I think that's what's happening in the world around us is not unprecedented. It's something actually we've seen before, and I'm going to show you because there's an example of it in the Bible, and we're going to look right at it. And it's not unprecedented. So what happened then? And what was going on there? And David asked this question, do I look to the government? Do I look to the hill? Do I look left? Do I look right? Where does my help come from? And the answer is, look up. It's higher. David also said, I go to the rock that is higher than I. Come on, I got some churched people in here. That's where I go. It's bigger than me. It's higher than I am. I'm not going to look at Capitol Hill. I'm going to look up. Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, it's important. But I'm going to look higher. I look up. I don't look to the left. And I don't look to the right. Where do I look as a follower of Christ Jesus? I look up. So let's go to an actual story in the actual Bible, God's holy word, that is alive and living and penetrates to the innermost parts of who we are. The only book that when you read it, reads you. Let's go to the scripture. The ancient, old, true, living scripture. Let's go there and just look at an example in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 22, then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him as Jesus, in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? All right, well, let's see. What's your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? And they bring a question to Jesus. Pharisees and Herodians. Who are they? The Pharisees are the religious leaders of the church at the time of Jesus. They are the Jewish leaders of the church in Palestine. This is who they are, and they represent the house of God. So they speak for the Lord, and they're the ones that, you know, like, well, what do we do, and how do we lead our life? It's like this. They're like me. They're the voices. And they're in this unusual time where Rome has started to seize control of all these areas and in a kingdom and a movement that is continually expanding and expanding with more evil. And the Jews don't like it. The Pharisees are not for it. And they're the ones that would rise up against what's going on from Rome. And they, of course, are trying to rally as many people as they can. But there was a divide among the followers of God about how to respond. And the Pharisees are the ones that are trying to get them to respond politically. The Herodians were people that worked for Rome. And their responsibility is to further the agenda of Rome's rule in Palestine. And they continue to press the agenda that the Pharisees are against, that all of God's people are against, quite frankly. And the Herodians are pushing this agenda, and we see them come together in this crazy moment because they find a common enemy, Jesus, who wasn't doing it like anybody else. And they're like, well, this ain't gonna work. We don't like this. So let's just see if we can trap them. We'll come together for a common enemy, then we'll get back apart. Let's just see if we can trap Jesus, because Jesus was doing something that was changing people's hearts, not their political stances. What was happening because of Christ Jesus is life transformation, radical change from the inside out. It was so transformative within that it affected everything without. And they just weren't for it because he didn't play by the rules. And so they asked the question, what do you say? What do you say?
Look up.
He, I like it. I need this energy. Should we pay tax? Should we support Rome and this evil government? Or should we push against it and not pay our taxes? That's the question. And here we go. Look at Jesus. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites. Love it. Homeboy don't play no games. Why are you trying to trap me? Then watch what he does here. show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this? Whose image is on this coin? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. And then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. Interesting. Give to Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. I want to dig right here just for a few minutes, because I find it compelling. Because Jesus asks, bring me a coin that you would pay your taxes with. Bring it to me. And so they give him one. And he looks at it and says, whose picture is that? That's Caesar's picture. He also says, whose inscription is that? That's Caesar's inscription. It's interesting, if you study it, you'll discover that Caesar called himself God. And his picture is on his coin, and his inscription claiming to be God on his coin. Caesar, who oversees Rome, the very people that would try and kill Jesus. And Jesus says, can I do it in the King James? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give it back to him. You should pay your taxes. Give it back. But also, give to God that which is God's. Now, may I answer the question for us today? What is God's? It's our attention. It is our hearts. It is our commitment. It is our lives. It is to be broken for him. It is to be poured out for him. It is to be fully surrendered. It is to be all in. It is to look up. That I don't look left. I don't look right. I don't look at Capitol Hill. What do? We look up. I'm going to look higher. God, you can have my attention. You can have my eyes. You can have my mind. You can have my thoughts. You can have my worry. You can have my concern. You can have my fear. You can have it all. I will see you for who you are, because I'm going to make a declaration here. God is in control. Still, regardless of what you believe politically or how you voted politically, God is in control. He has not gotten off his throne, and he will not leave his throne. Hang on before you clap. Hebrews 13, let everyone, everyone be subject to govern authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Woo. All right, yeah, we ain't gonna get amens here in a second. The authorities highlighted, the authorities that exist have been established by whom? Oh. Look up. Interesting, okay. Consequently, I love that word. Whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will be bringing judgment on themselves. Listen. If you get offended, that's on you, not me. All I did is read the Bible. So I don't need your email. I don't. All right? Here's what I'm going to say to you. Listen to me. Rome, Palestine, the Jews, same tension, same problems, same issues, same segregation, same divide. We're not in unprecedented times. These times have been here before. And what's going on here is that God knows what he's doing. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't vote or that politics don't matter. That's not what I'm saying. I vote. I do. I think as an American, it's a right. And as long as it's my right, I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to speak for myself. All right. I'm 30, almost 8 years old. All right. So I haven't voted a whole lot of times, but I've done it. I've been every time I could, I did. I voted. I'm just going to tell you right now, I've never once in my life as a voter walked into a booth with 100% confidence to just place my vote on a ballot for that person or for that agenda. Every time I've walked into the booth, I've decided, this one looks less evil in my opinion than the other. Guess I'll go with that one. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, we are all broken, sinful, flawed, jacked up people without the hope of Jesus, all of us. That's who we are. So there's evil everywhere. It's in this room right now because we have sin issues and problems. And we've created some polarizations that are separating people because we're looking at the hill. And what I want to preach today is look up. Lift your heads. Look higher. Amen. So regardless of how you voted, what you believe, how it turns out, our God is in control. You look all throughout Scripture. You know, and I just think, I'm gonna just preach just a minute, and I promise. But you look all throughout Scripture, and there are horrible seasons that God's people went through. And I know that we're Americans, which makes us the most spoiled people on earth. It does. And I'm proud to be an American. I defended our country, right? Like, I'm all about it. But you want to know something? God, I trust you. And if that means we're going to go through something, God, I'm with you. If that means it went my way, God, I'm with you. If that means it didn't go my way, God, I'm with you. You are my king. You are my source. I look, Father, to you. Listen to me, church, Church on the Rock. Listen, if you're a part of this church family, here's the heart from your pastor. I'm simply looking you in the eyes, and I'm just saying, hey, 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 look up. Just look higher. Trust God. Trust that he knows what he's doing. Amen. Amen. All right. What's going on? Okay. I don't know how I got there. All right. So here's how we're going to close. Here's how we're going to close. I want to take you to Psalm 121. I want to give you a promise. David said, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, to parliament, to government. I look there. Where does my help come from? I can imagine, I don't know, can I just dabble here a second? This is how I study. I can imagine that maybe he just found like disappointment there. Like, well, I sure thought that's not the way I saw it going. What's going on? I can imagine that he was maybe vexed about something and is creating a healthy inner question. I'm looking there. But where does my help come from? I almost think that David might have been heart-checking himself because he might have seen himself potentially going down an unhealthy rabbit trail of disappointment and frustration and anger because it maybe, I don't know, I'm just speculating, it wasn't going the way that he thought it would go and he had to just call a timeout and check his own heart. Search me, oh God, and know my heart, my anxious thoughts. Come on. And he just had to heart check maybe and then ask the question, well, hang on. David, time out a second. Where does my help come from? Oh, it's higher. I look up. I lift my eyes higher than government because, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Now, I just want you to just listen, relax, take this in. The word of the Lord, God's word to you, okay? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He ain't taking a break. He didn't forget. Indeed, he who watches over Israel. Israel, by the way, when you see Old Testament stuff and you see Israel, listen, that's you. This is just a representation of God's people. You're God's people. Who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. Look up. The Lord is watching over you and he's not on a break. Look up. He hasn't forgotten. Look up. He's not tired. look up. He didn't go, oops, that, like, he's got it in his hands. Look up. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going. When? Both now and forevermore. For all generations. For America. That wasn't there then. God is in control. Church on the Rock. I can't fix the world's problems. Can't. It's all I can do to fix our problems. I'm not responsible for all the chaos going on around us. I'm responsible to lead this house. And it's a call that I love, that I embrace, I deeply appreciate. And here's what I know. In this church, I could start the biggest fights ever. As I could go over here and get my Christ-following friend with their views. Hey, come here. Hang on. And then I could go over here and get my other Christ-following friend with their views. Come here. And I just say, ready, go. I could. I'm going to tell you, I have brothers and sisters that are my family because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for both of us that vote very differently. And they have different thoughts and different opinions. They have different perspectives and they have different backgrounds and they have different reasons for going into the booth and voting for what they see to be the lesser of evils. They mean everything to me. Like, I would die for them. And I wouldn't ask. Like, I can't imagine a combat scenario. I want you to just imagine I'm armed up, man. I'm the full battle rattle. Boom, M4, ready to go. I got my index finger. I'm about to go to fire. And then I'm with my soldiers in Christ around me. Be like, all right, we're about to go kick the enemy's tail because we're conquerors. We wear the winning uniform right on. Hey, first though, what'd you vote? Couldn't care less. Amen. I couldn't. Couldn't. And whatever. If that bothers you, I'm sorry. But I look at them and I say, I look at friends, like I'm talking about friends, like it's real talk. All right, that's a little bit of street slang, but we real talk, meaning like we just talk. We don't filter it, we just get it out there. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I disagree with that point of view. But you, I love. I'm down with you. Ride or die, I got your back. Count on me. Same. Love you. Because I can respect our differences, okay? Because there is a common thing to stand on. There is. No matter where you land in opinions and perspectives and your thoughts about the future of America, there is a common place for the body of Christ to stand, and it is on the rock of Jesus Christ. That's the common ground. It's on the rock. My heart for us is that we would choose, like we would do this. We would stand on that rock and we would look up. And no, God, you're in control. God, we look to you. I know. Remember Peter? Man, I don't have time for all this. You remember Peter? He got out of the boat. Remember that? He got out of the boat when there was a storm raging. And he's walking. He's defying all the odds. That's what God's people can do. And he's just walking to Jesus. But then he started to sink. And what happened was he looked right and there was wind. And he looked left and there was waves. And he looked right again and there was waves. And he looked left again and there was rain and there was a storm. And all of a sudden he began to sink. And the only thing that got Peter back on top of the water is when he did what? Help me, Jesus, I'm looking at you again. Just pull me out of my mess. I know there's chaos around me, but I see you. I see that you're close to me. I see that you're protecting me. I'll follow you. I'm all in. I'm all in. Church, look up. Look up. Look up. Let bitterness go. Let rage and anger go. Let it go. Look up. Look up. Look up. This is who we are called to be. The world will know me when they see the love you have for one another. I'll tell you where I stand on the gospel. Right? Hang on. I appreciate all that. But listen, all right? I'm not concerned with what's going on with the Democrats. I'm not concerned with what's going on with the Republicans. I'm really concerned with heaven and hell. I'm really concerned. And no matter what happens to me, I need to get the message of Jesus to those in danger of hell. Because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have the greatest gift anybody could ever fathom. And I have a responsibility to be the ambassador and the voice for it. And my heart is, hey, look up. Look up. There's more at stake. There's more at stake here. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I'm just going to look into the camera. I'm going to talk to the people in the room. And I'm going to do what I do every single Sunday. And what I'm going to ask is this. Are you tuned in? Are you in the room? And you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I know this. I'm in the company of a lot of people that stand with me on the rock of Christ. And we've made a commitment to live broken and poured out. We do this. And today, we've energized ourselves with a remembrance, a reminder. I didn't have to preach. I just got to remind everybody. Hey, guys, let's look up. Look higher. Let's go to the rock that is higher than us. And if you're like, hey, man, I want to be a part of that. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's a matter of your heart and your mouth. The Bible says if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, that we will be saved. And so what I want to do is invite you to join us in following Jesus. Love to make that invitation. And to help you, like that's the heart part. You're probably already there. The mouth part I want to help you with. It's a confession, and I just want to help you with that. And so everybody in the room and wherever you are, if you're in a group of people watching, I want to invite you to tune in and like say this too. Say it out loud right there in your living room with you and your three kids or whatever. Just do it. Because I want people that are saying this prayer for the first time to be able to say it with confidence and boldness. And so I want to invite you to say this prayer if you want to follow Jesus with us. I want you to say, Dear Jesus. Come on, you can do better than that in the building. Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's give God some praise, church.